sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. On today's episode of Locked On Cubs, episode 150, and we debut our new intro music, which I hope you guys liked. But Joe Girardi apparently wants to come to Chicago, and with Joe Maddon playing on the final year of his deal without really any extension talk going on at the moment, people are starting to speculate like crazy. We'll kind of sift through that. Later, we take a look at the Cubs, Arizona Fall League players, focusing mainly on Nico Horner, who's starting to kind of put it together as we see really the first kind of cohesive look at Horner as the first round pick. We'll kind of talk about what his future may look like and what the Cubs kind of need him to be. And finally, we'll do a quick preview of Game 1 of the World Series between the Dodgers and Red Sox, and we'll kind of tease a little bit about Paul Sullivan. He wrote an interesting article today about the Cubs wanting to be the Red Sox, kind of always modeling themselves and after this team, clearly with Epstein coming from there, bringing people from Boston to Chicago. I'll kind of talk about how they're different but similar. But let's talk about this. So two Joes enter, one Joe leaves, is what I'm calling this segment. Of course, Joe Girardi apparently turned down the Reds, coaching offer. And John Heyman released a tweet kind of hinting at the idea that Girardi is essentially holding out for one of the Chicago positions or coaching positions, whether it be the Cubs or the White Sox. But what Heyman said was, Girardi surprised Reds by pulling out Friday. He had a chance to win the job at that point, but they never got to a point of talking money with him. He also pulled out of the Rangers derby. Industry speculation, he's waiting a year on Chicago. So it sounds like Joe Girardi is pretty much okay with sitting around and kind of waiting to see if a Chicago job opens up. Of course, you know, guys from Chicago, was a catcher for the Cubs for a good amount of time. I can see why he wants to come to Chicago. I don't see where he's an improvement over Joe Maddon or much different than Joe Maddon. You know, maybe Joe Maddon, clearly a little more innovative guy, is going to be more open to doing theme road trips, things like that, to kind of loosen up the clubhouse. He has his own ways of interacting with guys. But clearly, like, he has a great rapport with just about everyone. At least it seems like the players all love Joe. Or at least they're going to tell the media that. If, you know, there was issues, I, you know, who knows what they would say, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like they really do respect Joe. Of course, Joe Maddon's agent, Alan Nero, kind of put down any kind of speculation that Joe was planning on leaving Chicago, that there's any real friction between him and Theo Epstein. There's quotes from another article from Paul Sullivan, who interviewed Alan Nero about a week ago, and all this was coming up, saying something like, "There's nothing wrong. I have all the faith in the world that we'll get this done when the time is appropriate, when it's ready. Joe never had a problem with any of this." He said, "Never. He was very comfortable. He was very relaxed. Wasn't thinking about it. He wasn't worried about it. You guys fired everything up, you guys being the media." So basically he's saying, you know, this was never really an issue. It just kind of turned into a story because, you know, the media made it. And I would agree it's probably being taken further than it was, but I mean, the media didn't turn this into a story. It kind of is a story. Like, it's what is the story is kind of how they haven't necessarily truly addressed it. Like, they have, I guess, but, you know, it's very much through the corporate, I guess, gaze of things, kind of where it's, you're not really saying anything. You're talking about it, but nothing tangible came out of that conversation from Epstein or what Joe Maddon has said is what anyone's really said, to be honest. But what we know is Joe Maddon is playing on the final year of his deal. In 2019, he will be a free agent after that, I guess. Free agent, whatever. He won't have a job with the Cubs. And apparently Joe Girardi is hoping that the Cubs will at least consider you know, talking to other people, or at least interviewing more people than Joe Madden. So, Joe Girardi, I don't see it. I don't really think it makes a ton of sense for the Cubs, for any team, at least any of the teams in Chicago. Girardi, the biggest reason he left New York was simply because he had a tough time communicating issues and an inability to relate to younger players. That's kind of why they just got rid of Chili Davis. And it's kind of where some of this friction is coming between Joe Madden and Theo Epstein when, you know, when you're talking about launch angles and the different philosophies it seems like maybe the front office has varying from what Joe Madden has. I don't know. That just seems really... I wouldn't understand that. Like, the reason I think the Cubs would want to consider getting rid of Joe Madden would be because they want to get maybe someone that's younger, that feels like they can relate to them, that's going to maybe be able to be more malleable potentially. You know, because if you're getting rid of Joe Madden, it's simply because you feel like he's not executing your ideas. Because clearly he's been successful. You know, whether the Cubs want to frame that as a really good team being led by a manager or a manager finding to get the best out of a really good team. Clearly that didn't happen this year, and maybe that's part of the reason they think they need to get a guy that's going to be able to bring the type of energy Theo Epstein wants with his club, and maybe he feels like Joe Madden isn't doing that. So that doesn't necessarily scream to me Joe Girardi, who's older, set in his ways, and like we've said before, left New York citing issues with essentially communicating with people. That doesn't seem like the type of fit. It feels like you'd want to go younger. You'd want a guy that maybe not doesn't have any experience, but has... you know, I don't know, would lean more so on the front office than opposed to kind of going through and doing things on his own experience. I don't know. But it doesn't make sense to go from Joe Madden to Joe Girardi. So I personally like Joe Madden. I think he's a great manager. I think 2018 was probably the best managed season he's ever had as a Chicago Cubs manager, just given what he was able to produce out of some of these guys, his usage of the bullpen, what he was able to do with some bats, get creative at times. You know, he did a really good job of juggling a lot of things and still leading the Cubs to a 95-win season that had maybe Chris Bryant been healthy or Wilson Contreras just played consistently like he had all year, as opposed to kind of a tale of two halves sort of situation. They probably win the division and, you know, who knows, this offense might be a little more stable and they might be a real threat in the NL. But that just never seemed to happen. But Joe was able to kind of hold the pieces together and get them to the finish line. It was just the guys didn't execute. So I don't know. I don't hold the – I mean, none of this Joe Girardi rumors mean anything at this point, because clearly it's a rumor. There's nothing really tangible here. This is Heyman kind of speculating and people kind of – assuming that Girardi would be interested in something like this, a job in Chicago. If he ended up on a team, I think it's far more likely he ends up on the White Sox on the South side, as opposed to coming to the Cubs and replacing Joe Madden. But I feel like if the White Sox were getting rid of Rick Renteria, it would be because they want to go someone younger, someone that can communicate. You know, we talk about these, you know, every player in the baseball right now, besides maybe Bartolo Colon, is a millennial. So, you know, maybe they want to find a better way to communicate to some of these guys. Who knows? The biggest thing I feel like for coaches is they have to get their message across. They have to be understood. They have to be respected. If you're not getting that and you can't get your message across, and also your team's kind of disappointing and not executing in moments, you know, then you kind of look back and be like, okay, well, maybe this isn't the culture we want. But that'd be crazy to me. So Joe Girardi, very unlikely coming to Chicago. If he is, I would say probably White Sox, but you know, who knows? I guess he doesn't mind sitting out a year to get the job he wants. And that makes sense. I mean, he did well in New York in his time. I mean, I think it was a little over-exaggerated in moments, but he's not a bad manager by any means. So let's take a quick look here. We're going to go into the AFL, or I guess the Arizona Fall League, take a look at some of these players, particularly Nico Hoerner, kind of highlight what he's been able to do so far and kind of see what we can project and expect from this kid and some of the other guys on this team too as well, DJ Wilson, you know, what have you. So let's roll into that second segment. Well, the Arizona Fall League is officially started for the Cubs and you know, all the other players that are participating in Arizona Fall League. And Nico Hoerner, the Cubs 2018 first-round pick, is one of the main people on this roster here for not only just the Cubs, but the entire Mesa Solar Sox team. And he's done relatively well so far. We've seen him. He's batting .286 with a .297 on base percentage, a .429 slugging with one homer, a triple. He's got seven RBI, four runs scored. He's got 10 total hits on the year. Something that isn't good and was an issue with him at Stanford. He's got 12 strikeouts of just one walk. Not necessarily the best on the year, though. And he only managed to play 14 games for the Cubs this year after he got drafted, starting in Eugene. Managed to get seven hits, batted .318, looked pretty solid in those seven games, then went on his way to South Bend, played in four games, then ended up hurting his elbow. He was batting .400. Had hit a home run, which was awesome. He did a home run before as well. The Eugene was kind of showing some pop that I don't think isn't necessarily who he is, but not what they're expecting. They only struck out once, had two walks. He was looking like he was kind of adjusting and doing really well in South Bend. So it was encouraging, and of course, you know, hurts his elbow. He's out for the rest of the year. So we're finally getting a real look at him now, and it's been impressive so far. He's kind of played around. He's played second base, a little bit of shortstop. He's labeled as a shortstop. I guess the minor league like page for the fall league right now. He's going to be a second baseman for the Cubs. I don't know if his arm is necessarily there. I don't know if he has the pop clearly with Javier Baez. He's going to be pretty much a second baseman. Maybe has the ability to fill in at shortstop from time to time, but it's interesting to see. I mean, this guy, when he was with Stanford, is a good hitter. He's a career, or at least in 2018, he hit .345. His batting average just constantly increased each year. In 2016, he batted only .254, raced it to .307, and then, of course, you know, 2018, batted .345. Doesn't necessarily have a ton of pop. He's only hit two home runs in 2018, only hit one home run in 2017, and then didn't hit one in 2016. Each year increased his RBI total. He stole 15 bases in 2018. Still not a great strikeout to walk ratio. 22 strikeouts to 20 walks, but he had 80 hits on the year. Only two of them were home runs. He had six triples, 17 doubles. Those could turn in, you know, a few of those could turn into home runs. He's probably like a 10 home run top guy. He's not going to hit a ton of power, but he just hits the ball. Does a really good job of it. What he's going to have to learn is to be more patient, because clearly these strikeouts and with lack of power and just really kind of slapping the ball through, he's not going to have a high ceiling if he's going to continue to strike out like this. He's going to have to strike out less, learn to walk, become more patient at the plate. Pick the balls that you can do damage on, because clearly he can get the ball on the bat head. So the Cubs feel like they can kind of maybe get him to bulk up and learn to be more selective at the plate, and that they hope that translates to more pop from his bat. That being said, the power has to come. He's going to have to try and really start driving the ball. And the Cubs seem to think it's more of selection than it is really of him lacking power. I don't know, though. I mean, I had the chance to meet Nico Horner when he was at Wrigley right after he had the surgery, or the not the surgery, the he met with the doctor in Chicago to evaluate his elbow and kind of to get an idea of what they were thinking of doing. And he came to Chicago. He's 5'11". He's pretty well built. He looks strong. He's going to have to put a little more bulk on. I think, you know, 215 probably is where you'd want this guy if you really expect him to hit for pop. That being said, he's got a lot of speed. He's got a great glove. He's very agile. His athleticism, you know, through the charts. Great kid. He was very polite and respectful, honestly, which, you know, is something that we won't talk about much in this podcast. But when you look at the issues the Cubs currently have with Addison Russell and, you know, what have you, clearly having a person that isn't a douchebag is like probably a plus, I would say at least. But he just seems like he checks all the boxes. He fits in the mold the Cubs would expect him to be. And he could potentially be a decent on-base guy if he can kind of turn into more patient player at the plate. But even if he doesn't, if he can start hitting for power, I mean, this guy has Dustin Pedroia written all over him, as everyone wants to compare him to him. Same with, you know, name any other small middle infielder that isn't compared to Dustin Pedroia. But he's interesting. He's got plenty of talent. The ceiling's high. He's got a great mindset at the plate. they just kind of have to get him to be a little more selective and see if he can develop a little more pop behind that bat. He's a guy who has a lot of potential coming into 2018. Before earlier this week, he had gone three scoreless innings in an outing in one start. I believe it was on the 11th, or no, the 18th, actually, he did really well. Gave up only three innings, scoreless. The outing before that, though, on the 11th, he got lit up. Gave up five hits in an inning and two-thirds, four earned runs, couple walks. He didn't get necessarily tagged, but the team was batting 500 against him. Clearly couldn't make it through that second inning of work, so they had to come out. But he's a lefty guy that has some plus stuff. He's definitely a work in progress type of pitcher, but he's been in the Cubs system for a little bit now, and I personally think he's a guy that could potentially be maybe a lefty reliever, maybe like a long loggy, who knows, maybe type of like a long reliever from the left side. He's only 23 years old. He shows a lot of promise. He kind of put it together for a little bit last year when he got called up to the high A Cubs, and then even some stint in double A. But before that, with rookie ball, he'd thrown about 18 innings. He had an ERA of 1.47. 2017 kind of really looked good, and the most work he's had, 98 innings, started 20 games, finished with a 2.92 ERA, a 7.48 K per nine, a 3.28 walk rate. Doesn't get hit hard, though, is huge. Home runs aren't something you necessarily have to worry about with him. He does get the ball on the ground a good amount, near around 40-45%. The ball's not leaving the yard too much, though. He's really good at just kind of utilizing the defense behind him. He's got plus stuff. He can move. He can strike guys out. He's shown at moments where he can. And, you know, in rookie ball last year, he did have a K per nine of 13.25. It was only 18 innings, but still really good. That's about five starts for him. He can move the ball and make some guys miss, which is a promising thing. But I just think from the left side, he seems like a guy that eventually the Cubs, if they decided they didn't want to go and spend money maybe on a lefty reliever this offseason, or just kind of let Justin Wilson walk and see what they can do. Justin Steele's a guy I'd definitely be interested in trying. He is only 23. It might be a little early for him, but he did miss almost the entire 2018 season with Tommy John. So he's not a guy you're necessarily going to be expecting to work back and just be there and be ready. So he's interesting, though. I like Justin Steele. The other guy as well that I really like on this Arizona Fall League roster is DJ Wilson. He had a really good 2016 season, and then 2017 and 2018 didn't necessarily pan out. He's a really tiny guy, really compact swing, and he gets high contact, or pretty high contact actually as well. He's a good fielder. Ton of speed, and surprisingly for 5'8", 177 pounds, has some pop. He hit 9 home runs in 2007. A lot of those just kind of came towards the end of the season. He's never been a guy that's really hit for a ton of average. He's about a 219, 220 guy. He showed flashes of being able to maybe hit with decent average, like 260 average in 2016, an on-base percentage of 320. He's got some of the makings here. I just love how tiny this guy is, and watching him swing sometimes, he just explodes through the zone at times. He's got plenty of speed. He'd be an excellent fielder. His arm is incredible. For 5'8", he can just let it fly. He's a fun guy. And he'd just be, as a fourth outfielder, as a future center fielder, he's only 22 years old. I'm really excited about him, and I was very, very nervous when Rule 5 picks were coming through and the Cubs didn't try and stash DJ on the 40, man. Not necessarily, you haven't seen much out of him to really warrant something like that, but he was able to make it through. He's still in the Cubs. I'm very excited to see what this guy's future is. This is kind of a make-or-break year for him. So far, not doing too well in the Fall League, but is a guy that I like. All kind of homerisms aside here a little bit, he's a really good defender with a guy that who has shown potential to have some serious pop in his bat. And he's so small, it's tough to throw him strikes. So the pitches that do come in the strike zone, he does normally hit well. Fall League is only batting 174, on base percentage of 289, six strikeouts, four walks, two stolen bases, though. He gets on base and he is productive at least. He's got seven scored runs with only four hits. I think that's a sign of a guy that we just need to figure out what he's doing with his bat. You know, does he need to be trying to swing for home runs? Can we improve his contact rate? He does have a heavy bat. It does come through the zone, but, you know, just some of these parts you love in a guy and then other parts that don't match to make pretty much a mishmash of an average baseball player at best. And I'm falling in love with him, of course, because I love guys like that. So I will forever be a Corey Patterson, Brett Jackson, Felix PA type of guy. So fair warning, I have a soft spot for toolsy center fielders, I guess you could say. So, but, you know, some of the guys you keep an eye on, pieces that could be something in the future. So let's go to the third and final segment where we'll talk about this World Series and kind of point out the comparisons between the Red Sox and the Cubs. So game one of the World Series will start today. Even though I record this Monday night, it'll be a Tuesday matchup between couple lefties, two of the best lefties in baseball, best pitchers in baseball, and Clayton Kershaw and Chris Sale. Of course, the Red Sox, best record in baseball, will host this game in Fenway. Game should start, I believe it's a 8:09 start, so a 7 o'clock Central Time start here in Chicago. I don't know who I'm really cheering for in this. I don't particularly care. I'll probably cheer for the Red Sox just because I like Mookie Betts and I like some of their players more than some of the Dodgers, but I'm excited for this World Series. This is going to be a fun series, fun two teams to watch. It's interesting to kind of look at the Red Sox and the Dodgers for what it is. I mean, both teams kind of carried by young players. Their best players are guys that are, you know, in their mid-20s and are looking like some of the best players in baseball in general. You talk about Manny Machado's, Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, he's a little bit older, Cody Bellinger's. Yasiel Puig had a crazy three-run home run to kind of solidify that World Series trip for the Reds or for the Dodgers in Game 7 of the World Series. So, I mean, fun team, but you kind of look at the outlines of what these teams are. It's kind of exactly what the Cubs are. I would say, you know, Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox, Astros are probably like the four teams, maybe even the Yankees too. I'd throw the Yankees in there too, that are kind of budding into, and the Athletics, there's some teams anyways, these teams that have these superstar rosters with young talented players kind of sitting in the forefront carrying this team, and they're kind of like been identified as these dynasty type teams, these teams that are going to have superstar players in their primes playing together for a while. But you kind of look at what the Cubs have done compared to what the Red Sox did before they started getting good. Paul Sullivan wrote an interesting article kind of even just outlining how the Cubs went and signed guys like Yu Darvish and John Lester and Jason Hayward, kind of similar to what like the Red Sox did when they were going after David Price, you know, now J.D. Martinez, before that Hanley Ramirez, Rick Porcello. You can look at the teams that were successful beforehand, even like, you know, Carl Crawford, spending money on those guys, Adrian Gonzalez, people that didn't work out. Cubs kind of have those as well. They started renovating their team right around the same time, or renovating their team technically, but also Wrigley Field. Same time, the Red Sox kind of started doing it that way as well. And we saw, you know, advertisers kind of pop up in places we didn't expect it in Fenway. Now we're seeing that with Wrigley with the two scoreboards. And it's interesting to see how Epstein has kind of, you know, kind of made this similar but different. Shadowing what the Red Sox are doing, and you know, clearly the Red Sox are having better luck at it right now. In the last two decades, have been able to kind of clearly end their drought and continuously go to the World Series. Now they're the fourth time and within that span of them winning, and you know, it's what you want the Cubs to be striving for, and they are. And I think that's why we're going to see a lot of changes coming here. You know, We've talked about the Cubs coaching staff and how it's going to look a little different this year. It could potentially look different in a couple months. You know, off season is about to finally kind of roll through here. Of course, once the World Series ends, that's when real things start picking up for, you know, us, the Cubs fans who've been out, you know, not paying attention. I mean, paying attention to baseball, not really being, you know, ingrained in baseball like I normally am. During the Cubs season, it'll be nice to get back and start looking at who we want, who we don't want. Some of these underrated guys, I've got a couple things set up for previews for these other podcasts, so it's exciting. But, you know, appreciate what the Red Sox have been able to do. You look at the guys they've been able to acquire, the people they've kind of uncovered. Rafael Devers turning into a big player, Andrew Benintendi making big plays, Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting grand slams and home runs against the Dodgers team that did nothing but against the Astros against the Dodgers in the World Series last year, and even on their way against Cleveland, clobbered them before they kind of ran into the Red Sox in those final four games of that four games that they lost in that five game series it ended up being. So this is exactly what you want the Cubs to be. And you look at some of the players they have, there's no reason to think that these guys can't turn into that. But we also have to stop necessarily looking at all these prospects and expecting them to be superstars. Maybe the Cubs need to start looking for production, unless, as we've heard from the offseason mantra so far, you know, less production or less potential, more production. So, but appreciate what the Red Sox are and hope the Cubbies can get there too. So that'll about do it here for today's episode, guys. We're going to be having at least one more. I'm going to try and squeeze another one in here. Jared Willis from, of course, NBC, as well as Sporting News, excuse me, as well as also, you know, former Cubs Den, former BP Wrigleyville, does stuff for Chicago Mag right now. Jared Willis, if you follow Cubs Twitter, you know who he is. He's going to be on the show sometime later this week. I'm planning on that being a Friday episode. So we'll see what goes on with that. But Jared's going to be on the show at some point, and I'm going to try and squeeze one more episode in if I can find it here. But I wanted to save some of the off-season content to come when the off-season finally starts, because there's no reason previewing who's going to go where and what at this moment, because there's no real reports. It's all speculation from where I think people should go. And who wants that, right? So thanks for tuning in, guys. Hopefully you like the music. Let me know what you think on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can also make sure you're subscribing to the podcast and any podcast app you use. That's Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We are everywhere. If you can't find us and there's a place you want us to be on, reach out to us on Twitter. Send us an email at lockdowncubs@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Tune into my other podcast, Sports Podcast at 312, live every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. in Evanston, Illinois for 1590 WCGO. And as well, we also do some one-off Bears podcasts throughout the week, kind of talking about the Bears. So check that out at 312 Pod on Twitter. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and go Cubbies.